and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth, and so is saved. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, I'm sorry to take you away from the Bible. So, were you just listening to what was read? Who do we put our trust in? Jesus. Very good. Jesus. God. Holy Spirit, right? Three in one, one in three. We'll get into that about 16 years from now. But, have you ever been tempted to maybe take a cookie when you weren't supposed to? Oh, yeah. Has anybody ever asked you to do something you weren't supposed to do and you knew you weren't supposed to do it? You don't have to say if you did it or not. No, never. No. Never. Not even in school? No. Have you ever had a bad feeling before? Yeah, I just had this morning.
Really?
Oh, your mom put earrings. They're new. Kind of no. Oh, that would make me sad if I had earrings in. Did it hurt? Okay. Have you ever had a mean feeling, like you were angry?
Yeah.
But what do you do when that happens? Scream? Yeah. Sure. Cry. Have you ever prayed while you were upset? No. Well, I'm glad you said that. Because you're going to learn how. See, today we're going to read about Jesus being tempted with three things. And who do you think Jesus put trust in when that happened? His disciples? His father? Who's that? God. He put trust in God. He put trust in the scripture also that you were just reading. So keep doing that. It's a good thing. But he also, later on, prayed. So when he gets upset, Jesus got upset, it's okay. He got angry. Flip over some tables. Yeah, don't do that. But he was tempted as well. So if Jesus is tempted, that probably means that we all are going to be at some point, right? Tempted with something. Tempted with anger, with fear. So when that happens, we can do this. Do this. Aw, look at that. It's Valentine's Day. That won't happen every day. We could say, Jesus. Say, Jesus. Come to me. Come help me. Come comfort me. Come take away my pain. And come just be with me and make me feel better. Come be with me and make me feel better. So anytime you get angry, somebody asks you to do something, you can ask for Jesus to come to you and give you strength, and you can say, no, or make you feel better. Or even when you're crying, you say, Jesus, be with me. Okay? You promise me you'll do that? And not yell? Maybe. All right, thank you. You can go back. Give me 5. All right. And going along with that, we have our reading from Luke. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all his authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to you anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on a pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.'" Jesus answered him, "It is said, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. The Gospel of the Lord. Doesn't it often happen in the Christian life? After a blessing comes the battle. After the mountaintop comes the valley. After feeling so close to God, there comes a time when you feel so far away. The greatest temptations follow the greatest victories. The greatest trials follow the biggest triumphs. We can ask Manziel that same question, if you know who he is. Johnny Football. Do you remember Elijah in the Old Testament? He went up to Mount Carmel to have a contest of gods between him and 450 prophets of Baal. And if you had read the story in 1 Kings, you remember that it was a great victory and a great display of power. There's only one true God in heaven. And Elijah was so excited that on his way back down, he was able to outrun all the horses pulling the chariot. But then only a chapter later, we see Elijah as low as he has ever been before. He was hiding out in the desert, wishing he could die. After the mountaintop comes the valley. After the victory comes the test. So we now move to Luke 4, where we immediately begin with the valley. Jesus goes from the blessing of his baptism to the battle in chapter 4, where the scene is set as Jesus is led into the wilderness. And I have said often before that I think all of us experience periods of devastation, of times in the wilderness in our own life. Just this past month has been one for me. And you see, there are times when spiritual and ministry landscapes around us seem barren and dry, and that we have the same thing in personal lives, don't we? And sometimes it lasts a day or two, sometimes it lasts a month or more. And for some people, unfortunately, it lasts years. And this is similar to what happens to Jesus here in the gospel reading. Jesus was tempted in three ways. Satan wanted Jesus to turn stone into bread, the lust of the flesh. And the devil showed him all the kingdoms of the world, the lust of the eyes. Then Jesus was tempted to throw himself down from the pinnacle of the temple in order to easily declare himself the Messiah and not depend on God, the pride of life. So here's another person that deals with temptation.
Season. I've been disobedient on the whole tobacco issue. The first 2 months of the season, this is what it can be. What you're going through right now is this is what it's going to be until you become obedient. God takes it away. He gives you strength to move forward through it. You don't think about it. And I hadn't really thought about it since I said, all right, Lord, I get it. You know, here it is. One thing I share with people going through addictions, like I have, when you're in the middle of your addiction, you'll understand how many people you're hurting. You know, it's kind of a selfish act or attitude, and I didn't realize it until, you know, I reached kind of bottom of my grandmother's house. It wasn't just me that I was affecting, but people around me. I wanted people to understand that I've been there, I went through it, my family went through it. And I'm exactly the same as they are. Just because I play a sport doesn't mean I'm any different than them. It's pretty incredible to have tried to do things my way in baseball and it didn't work out. And to really develop a relationship with Jesus and Him restore all these things for me. So I can now share with people what He's done in my life and the second chance I've got. I want to use to glorify Him in every way I can. The autographs I signed, and the reason I spend so much time with fans is because everywhere I go is kind of my mission field right now. The scripture on balls, pictures, jerseys, whatever the case may be. Just a little part you do as far as the way you act, the way you speak, the way you go about your daily life is representing Christ. Very rarely do you see me get upset, maybe once or twice in my career on the field, like what people can see me. I'm not going to throw my bat, break a bat, or put my helmet, things like that. That's how visually, you know, I can represent Christ. You know, I can play the game hard, I can have a smile on my face, no matter what the circumstances, whether I strike out four times. You know, you see guys a lot of times when they do something good, you know, point out, well, why don't they point out when they do something bad? You know, it doesn't make sense. He gave me the ability to play the game, so I want to glorify Him however I can, whether I strike out four times, whether I don't do anything to help the team physically, but I can give somebody a word of encouragement. That's success on the field. My legacy, I think I want it to be that people understand who I represent, what I believe in. I know it's going to be a continual process and a road, but, you know, I want to say that I gave everything I had, you know, spiritually, emotionally, and, you know, hopefully I can do that.
Josh Hamilton, one of the greatest baseball players ever. Many teams have been trying to pick him up for years. I was hoping the Red Sox would eventually. But this interview is in 2012. Yeah, Red Sox, I know, you can mock me. And even a couple of years after that, he struggled with some things. But even the greatest, one of the greatest icons in professional baseball, still a human being. Deals with temptation from the flesh. He dealt with so many. And in reality, it can show us that we all do. Temptation with addiction, gratification, battle with pride, and so much more. And it escalates. And we cope with trying to depend on ourselves rather than on God. And that's what Hamilton fought until one day he decided to hand it all over and put it in Christ's hands. He realized that each of us represent Christ in the world, no matter what our vocation, no matter what we do, and that we are called to believe and put faith in the gospel message, to strive to walk with Christ. And in Luke, it says, "And in those days he ate nothing, and afterwards, when it had ended, he was hungry." We can take that in different ways. And I believe that this is quite an understatement. If we don't eat for 40 days, how hungry would we actually be? But the hunger of Jesus sets up the next verse with the first temptation. See, Christ was certainly tempted in his humanity, in his flesh. Think about it this way. How much temptation does it take for you to sin? Not much. For most of us, it doesn't take much at all. Just that split-second thought. For most of us, it doesn't take anything. And we have a sinful flesh that will lead us into temptation every chance it gets. And Josh Hamilton hinted to us in the video that our flesh causes us to sin at the drop of a hat. He told one thing when he went 0 for 5 one day, how tempted he was. You know, you see those guys on the TV smashing a bat over their knees, swearing and throwing stuff. He gave that up. Anger. And it happens so much with success. So how do we battle this nemesis? Well, Jesus was tempted directly by Satan, but he kept his teachings at heart. He kept the scripture at heart. He knew who he was and is today. And that is what Hebrews 4:15 means when it says that he was tempted in all the ways as we are, but without sin. With this in mind, let's turn to look at the first temptation in verse 3. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." In other words, look at it this way. Satan is saying, since you are the Son of God, use your divine gifts to satisfy your own fleshly desires. Remember what Hamilton said about depending on himself for success, his own talent? Here, Satan is saying to Jesus, how pathetic. The Son of God is struggling with hunger? That is so human. Come on, you're better than this. Make some bread for yourself. You know you want it. Does that sound familiar? God will let you use your talents to make bread for yourself. It is okay, Jesus. God won't mind. If Jesus made bread for himself, he would be relying on himself rather than on God. That's the lust of the flesh. This is the "it feels good to do it" philosophy. Hamilton has it right in our present context, with the realization that this is a common temptation among us all. God has given each of us a spiritual gift. 1, 2, 3. If you know what your spiritual gifts are, make sure you're not using them to fulfill your own personal desires, to create your own success. Because man should not live by bread alone. But they are to edify God, not ourselves. You see, it is all about trusting in and working for God. And the only way to do this is by filling our own spiritual coffers. We fill those coffers by diving into Scripture. Right, Ava? Yep. Is to know and trust in what gives us strength. We are to be centered on Christ's gospel message. That is, Jesus died for us so that we are saved. That is why Jesus came. To do what we often fail at. Jesus is our stand-in, our champion, going to do battle for us. Jesus refuses temptation and stops it cold in its tracks. And finally, there was a man who could firmly forever say no to the devil. We know Adam and Eve didn't. We don't always do it ourselves. So Jesus does. And here is why it's so absolutely vital and necessary that he does not do it in the wilderness, so as not to get diverted from what he came to do. You see, Jesus came to reverse the curse of sin and death, and the devil wants to keep it from happening, from him doing just that. He did everything he could do to keep Jesus from accomplishing his mission. Yet there was no victory for the dark side, the absence of God. So Josh Hamilton gets this, exemplifies this in his faith. Even through all his success, even through his $240 million contract for 6 years. He keeps Christ at the center. And he keeps teaching us today. He keeps teaching the children with good sportsmanship, a good role model, to walk in Jesus' footsteps. He understands the great victory, but also the struggle, and not letting that struggle divert him from what is right. Because of Christ's sacrifice, his body and blood. So Lent, what we're in now, what we're walking in now, turns us to confess our failures, our sin, and redirects us in the steps, in the way towards Jesus. Thanks to our belief, and thanks to the gospel. And it is also through the power of the Holy Spirit. We are free to focus on the mountaintop and Christ's victory, especially in our own struggles, and our own downside, our own dark side. Especially in the struggles that we see in the next 35 days. So that is looking and putting it all at the foot of the cross. See, Josh could have been following somebody else's footsteps, be suspended, turn more to drugs, drinking, other things that we hear about athletes doing in the newspapers. But he turned the other way. He turned to Christ. And how great that is. An example for all of us to follow. So it's suggested beautifully and summed up in this way. Let us pray. O Lord God, you led your people through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Guide us now so that following your Son, we may walk safely through the wilderness of this world toward the life you alone can give. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit. One God, now and forever. Amen.